and you shall find rest for your soul. Amen. This is an invitation. This is an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to live a stress-free, worry-free, anxiety-free life. And we do so when we embrace the principles, embrace the teaching. He said, take my yoke up on you. Learn. We learn the principles of life. And then we find out that God's way of doing things is the better way of doing things. So this is an invitation, and we can partake in this life. We can live this life, this stress-free, worry-free, anxiety-free life, by taking his yoke upon us, learning the principles of life and how to live life like he does it. And we find out that God's way of doing things, God's way of living, is the better way of living. All right. And so, an example, I invited someone recently to come and be present to continue to hear the word of God. They expressed to me their situation in life and used that situation that they have in life, their present situation in life, as a reason why they would have difficulty making it. But I thought to myself, oh, if they only knew that what they're being invited to do is letting the word change their life and have a better life. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. How do we do it? Take his yoke upon it and on you. Learn his way of, learn these principles. Learn to live his way of life. And then we find out that his way is the better way. We've been talking about the rewards of righteous commitment. Rewards of righteous commitment. I have chosen tonight to share more about what we had talked about earlier today. However, our night services generally are centered around these 12 commitments, these 12 commitments of a faithful member. I'm going to share some things in review that we had said last time. The rewards of righteous commitments, that's what we've been talking about. But a righteous commitment is a calculated choice whereby I obligate myself to do what God's word tells me to do. That's what a righteous commitment. We defined a righteous commitment as a calculated. You see, it's not spontaneous. It is not an emotional decision. It is a calculated choice to do what God says do in any situation, in any circumstances. It has nothing to do with how I feel or how I am feeling. That righteous commitment is it is a calculated choice whereby I or you, I have obligated myself to do what God's word says to do in any situation. That's what a righteous commitment. We've been talking about the rewards of righteous commitment. We have said that you and me are the one who has to do what it takes to change. If you will make the righteous commitment in these three basic areas of your life, then the quality of your life will change in resources, in your responsibilities, and in your relationships. We talked about the fact that there were five basic relationships that are common to everybody. Number one, our domestic relationships, kingdom relationships, business relationships, friendship, and then casual relationships. And we began to talk about the fact that church and church membership is God's idea. Sometimes I make the statement that member of a religion is different from being a citizen in a kingdom. But that's by no means talking about church membership. Church is God's idea. Being a member of the body of Christ, that's not being a member of a religion. So make that very plain. When you hear me talk about being a member of a religion, I'm talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. Being a church and religion are two different things. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew, the 16th chapter. You're very close. Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 11th verse. The 17th verse. Matthew 16 and 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See? So the church is Jesus' idea. The church is Jesus' idea. And you know it's valuable to God because Jesus calls it his church. It's his church. So the church is Jesus' idea. He calls it out my church. So it is right to be a member of a church. So get that clear. When I talk about being a member of a religion, I'm not talking about being member of a church. You're supposed to be a member of a church. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. We are members in particular. The Bible supports people being members of churches. The church is God's idea. And the church, Jesus calls it his church. All right. Now, it's my responsibility and it's your responsibility to do what it takes to change. You remember that I said people don't change? I mentioned this earlier today. I said people don't change and you can't change people. And I said just changing our conduct doesn't change us. But it is my responsibility and it's your responsibility. It is the individual person's responsibility to do what it takes to cause change to occur in our lives. We know that we focus on the things that pertain to the God. Now turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter. It is our responsibility to do what it takes so that change will happen. And we know that change happens when we do what it takes to set change in motion in our life. We have scriptural evidence that it is our responsibility to do what it takes to set change in motion in our lives. Romans, the 12th chapter. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there is an operation of the Holy Spirit and an operation with this word of God that causes change to happen in a person's life. When a person becomes a member of the church, that's a commitment to do what it takes to change, to set change in motion. Yes, it is true. I can't change myself, but it is my responsibility to do what it takes to set change in motion. I have to initiate the change. Okay, so number one, these 12 commitments that we had said for a faithful member of a church is, number one, we had said, avoid intimate fellowship with the unrighteous or the renegade Christians. When you come into the church, you may find people who are exhibiting symptoms of decline, renegade Christians. And we call renegade Christians, that's a name that we call it because that's what it is. Avoid intimate fellowship with them. Number two, submit to the vision of that church. We said that even though one church may not be doing what another church is doing, it doesn't mean that that church is off. It simply means that there may be a specific mandate or assignment. Number three, make spiritual growth a priority for membership. We indicated that a person may get a partner for a business deal. He may increase his business after joining a church. He may find a mate. She may find a mate. It may be other things that accrue after membership, but that shouldn't be the primary reason for joining a church. What the primary reason for joining a church should be spiritual growth. It must be spiritual growth. And the way you grow spiritually is the Word of God, fellowshipping with the Lord around the Word of God, and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit through prayer. And that should be the primary reason for becoming a member in a church. Number four, commit to holy living. We said that's the key to having power in your life, that gladness. Jesus, he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. And that oil of gladness, he's been anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows, and we are his fellows. And that gladness, that joy of your salvation comes when there is no consciousness of unforgiven, unrepented of sin. And also power. That's one of the keys of being able to stand and use your authority in life, because your heart is assured before God. That spirit of holiness, that attitude of holiness, loving righteousness and hating iniquity, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness. That attitude of holiness, that commitment to live a holy life and keep the junk out of your life. You can live above sin. You can do that, and you can do it with joy. The secret is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It's the desires that God deal with. It's very hard to do that with wrong desires, but God is in our heart. He gives. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart. It's easy to live holy when your desires of your heart are being affected by your fellowship with the Word of God and prayer. Amen. So number five, we had said aggressively. This is the fifth commitment of a faithful member, to aggressively bring others to the kingdom of God. Aggressively bring others to the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility, and aggressively bringing others to the kingdom of God comes from this lordship factor. We can get so busy, it's possible to be so busy in the blessing of God, in the sweet communion and of a fellowship with each other, and having answered prayers, and until we can forget about the lost and really don't even care about them. We can become callous and just not even care about the loss. But this commitment to aggressively use intentional effort, yes, and strategies to win the loss is a responsibility of saints. It is a responsibility of the saints. Now, we saw from the book of Proverbs that he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls. See, winneth souls mean I'm intentionally using my will to win souls. Souls has to be won. And we can, God wants to use you, your life, and my life to bring, like a magnet, to bring others to Christ. That's one thing God wants to do. He wants to use your life, and he wants to use my life as a magnet. He wants to draw other people by your life. And so we looked at scriptures. We looked at Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord. See, confess that he's Lord. He's not just Savior, but Lord means he's the owner. He's the boss. It means that we gave up our right to make choices aside from his purpose when we confessed that he's Lord, that he's our owner. He's the boss. He's the one who calls the shots. This comes about, this desire comes about through our fellowship with the Lord, but this commitment is supported by this lordship factor. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse. Scripture says, what know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. See that revelation that I don't own myself, but it's okay because I belong to a benevolent King who is committed to me, committed to you, committed to the best being in your life. All right, so that fifth commitment is to aggressively bring others to the kingdom of God. Now, this sixth commitment of a faithful member is to faithfully support the church with your finances. Amen. That is a spiritual sacrifice. It's a spiritual responsibility. It's a spiritual sacrifice. I'm so glad to be speaking to people who are committed. But how many of you know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Periodically, we need to hear what we do anyway, but we need to hear so it can strengthen our conviction to function in this area also. Please look at Proverbs 3, the book of Proverbs. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I need two young men. Y'all come up here, two men to come, and I'm going to make this illustration. That scripture says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of all your increase. What's the promise? So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Do y'all remember what the scripture says about he that honors God, God will honor him? If I honor God, God will honor me. Another scripture says that if you receive who God has sent, you receive who? You receive him. Amen. You receive who God sent, you receive God. You receive who Jesus sent, you receive Jesus, and he that receives Jesus receive God. When I say receive, what does that mean? Let's talk about it. If you receive a prophet, how do you, he mentioned, if you give him a cool, if you do what? Give him a cold drink of water. If you do what? If you do what? Give him a cool drink of water. You've received him. You've honored who? The prophet. But who else have you honored? And if you honored the Lord, who else have you honored? God. Now, how could you honor God? So I'm trying to get you to see that this word honor has to do with something more than, just saying good things. The thought here is giving. Now, The secret to having God honor you. One secret is this faithful giving to God. You remember the scripture says, here men receive tithes. But there, where? Where? In heaven. He received them of whom it is with. Oh, y'all want to see it? Okay, Hebrews 18. Hey, stay there. Hebrews 7. Hebrews the 7th chapter. Yeah, y'all, yes, take your rest for a while. Hebrews the 7th chapter. All right. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave the tenth part of all. First being by interpretation, this Melchizedek is king of righteousness. And after that, after he's the king of righteousness, his name is interpreted, king of Salem, which is king of peace. Y'all see that? First, righteousness, and then after that, peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest forever. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, y'all ready? Here, men that die receive tithes. But there, read it, he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. So this two ways we can interpret this. When Paul was, when the writer of Hebrews was talking about that, it was in the New Testament, and he was saying here, it could be meaning that in the New Testament, men receive tithes. But there, talking about when Melchizedek, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek received the tithes, who it was written, he liveth. Because in the Bible, there's no scriptural, he's just like he just showed up on the scene with no evidence of a father or evidence of a mother, and it was like Jesus. Or you can say that this scripture can be applied here on earth. Men receive tithes. But there, where Jesus is, our high priest, Melchizedek was the high priest then, and Melchizedek received tithes, and it was witnessed he liveth. But Melchizedek was a high priest after the order of Aaron. After the order of Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. See, Melchizedek was like Jesus in that he just liveth. It's no father, no mother. He just boom, just existing. So here on earth, men receive tithes. But there in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, where your high priest is, he received them. So how are you going to give something to the high priest? You're going to have to do it on earth. And there he receives them. That's how you honor God. Through your giving. You're giving to a person, but God receives it. That's why Satan works overtime to try to discredit people who are in leadership. But your commitment as a faithful member is to support the church with your finances. But the benefit, see, we're talking about the benefits of righteous choices. Righteous choices. The Lord will give you promptings in your giving. And you need to hear this scenario so that you'll continue to be strengthened in your commitment to give to God. Amen. Now stand up. Stand up. Gentlemen. Amen. One of these can be God and one of these can be a man. All right. One of them to be a God and one of them can be a man. All right. So let's just say I'm a member. I'm a person on the earth. This word honor has to do much with giving. You remember in Galatians 6 and 6? Turn there quickly. Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 6th verse. Okay, read that. Wait a minute. That 6th verse, I can see it. Wait, but go ahead. Yeah. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. That shall he also reap. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so, I was looking for the word honor. I was looking for the word honor there, but I didn't see the word honor in that particular passage. But this honor is in the book of Timothy, where the person who does his job in ministry is worthy of double honor. Yeah. And that's not talking about just applause. That's talking about in all good things. So in Galatians, the 6th chapter, we was talking about communicate in all good things, not just applause, not just physical help, but also in this other, these other good things where giving into the ministry is concerned. And so honor has to do with giving as well as giving of our time and giving of our support. In other ways, it also has to do with giving of money. Okay, third time. Y'all come on up here. Okay, stand up again. All right, so I'm going to do this scenario. Now, I want to give to God, and God, I'm going to use him as God for right now, God will respond directly to how I regard this person. This is a minister. I'm a member. God will respond exactly like I'm doing whatever I do to this person, this minister. If it's in my church, however I regard this person, God will take it personally and he will respond directly to how I respond and regard this person. Here, let's talk about the tithes. Here, men receive tithes. I'm like, people receive tithes. It goes to, but there, who receives it? Yeah, he receives it. And he's going to respond directly to me based on how I respond to them. So my faith is in God. My faith is not in this person. I can see this person, but my faith is not in this person. Even if I'm this person's child. I recently was with some people who the child of the pastor of the church had to go through emergency surgery. And this person was an adult. who's married, is a woman who's married. Her father is the pastor of her church. She called and said, Mama, is Daddy there? Okay, I need to see both of y'all. Because she knew it was an emergency surgery she had to go through. She said, I got to get to you to put my seed in your hand. I got to talk to both of y'all. Now, this is father. It has nothing to do whether the person is father or not. It's the principle. She got to get this into her father and mother's hand because she's planted this seed before, because she needed a miracle. They really did need a miracle. And so I got to come over there now because I got to get this seed in y'all's hand because I need a miracle. She had emergency surgery while we were at the conference. Yeah. I mean, and it was serious. It was very, very serious. It was emergency. They found out they needed to do it. She called. Father was busy. She said, but I got to see y'all now. I got to hurry up and get this seed in y'all hand. She came over and she put that seed in the hand. They needed a miracle. Now, this person has her father. It doesn't matter. What she's doing, she's working a principle. She's trying to get this seed to God. And faith comes by hearing. That's why I'm teaching you this, so that you'll know the principle and not have any faith in me. Because I'm not the one who can honor you like God honors you. Amen. So don't let anybody discredit the place that your pastor has in your life. And whenever you hear anything that's trying to put cracks, magnify cracks in the armor of any spiritual leadership, even delegated, even if you have been delegated to be to lead or be a captain over another area of the church, no one should try to find cracks in your armor because that's delegated authority. And the church is God's idea. And there's order in God's church. So whether this person is a father or whether this person is somebody, if that's her man of God, she said, I got to get this to you. And she put a substantial seed in their life. And that's a father. But she'd been trained. This is a principle. She's trying to get this seed to Jesus. And that conviction of a faithful member, it comes through intelligent, calculated. It's not emotional at all. It's not spontaneous. It's from time getting revelation of principles in the kingdom of God that make life be done simple with no stress, no strain, no anxiety. That person could not bless herself. That person is a blessed person, but she was operating the principle. She's not trying to become blessed, but she was operating and activating the blessing of being in the kingdom of God. But the process, there is a faith process, and this commitment to faithfully support your local church, it works in the area where you sow and seed. And it also works in the area of any type of financial support to your church. You're giving it to who? People receive it. But really, what you're getting it to is Jesus. And according to the order of God, Jesus responds like you gave it directly to him. Just like you gave it directly to Jesus. However you receive who Jesus sent, that's how you receive Jesus. And you receive Jesus, you receive God. And so you're trying to get this thing to God. And I told a fella, it ain't about you. I told him, it's not about you. I'm trying to go around you. But in order for me to get around you and get to God, I have to give this to you. Amen. That's a commitment of a faithful member. And that's a secret to prospering in your life, where the grace of God, it comes from God. Grace comes from God. and you can expect grace. And the woman went to the doctor. They couldn't find what was wrong. They did not know what was wrong. They was thinking that she may not ever have to have, could never have a baby, because they're going to have to do this emergency hysterectomy. They did it. And they went in, and then they found the problem. And so they were just able to take a very small part of the tube out, and she can have babies. And the doctor came out and said, this was no less than a miracle. But when she sold that seed for a miracle, her father, who is the pastor, said, God, we need a miracle. And she put it in God's hand, because when he received it, God received it. And God responded. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Y'all may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. It's not all that much about the man, but it's the place that that man has in your life before God. And God responds just like you're doing it to God. Even if you give a cool drink of water to a prophet, God responds like you gave it to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead. I'm allowing him to turn to finish that for right now, because I want to talk candidly to the people who are here. Amen. Y'all got that principle?